Greetings, Padawans, and welcome to the Archives. Here to unlock this holocron, here's the man of the hour, Jedi Master Sotiko.
Live, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Episode 38 of the Archives Podcast. And we have, in our midst, one of the lost 19. Yes, we have MJ back on the block. MJ, how are you, buddy?
Well, how do you do, Trev? It's been a minute. It's been a blue milk minute, for sure.
I know, it's been, what, 12 parsecs since I've seen this freaking guy. But he's finally back, and we are very happy to be talking some Star Wars. MJ, if you had to pick one trilogy, right? Prequel, original, sequel. One trilogy that you feel like you could give a 30-minute TED Talk. Well, 30 minutes is steep, right? 15-minute TED Talk. What trilogy do you think it would be?
Do you want a specific answer, or do you want an answer that's honest?
An honest answer. An honest answer.
I think a 15-minute speech could be given for all three, if you really want to keep it at 100.
honestly,
there's fans for all three trilogies. All three trilogies have their own stories. And, I mean, in a sense, some are longer than others.
True.
But you can definitely give a 15-minute speech, at least I could, for at least all three trilogies.
Do you think you could give a 15-minute speech for the Clone Wars, Rebels? I genuinely, like, I think
for the spinoff?
Yeah. I think I could give a 15-minute speech, and maybe this will be a new series on my channel. We'll do Trev Talks instead of TED Talks.
No, that's solid. That's solid.
We'll do Trev Talks, and we'll talk about... Like it. I think I could do a 15-minute speech on every individual Star Wars.
What do you mean individual Star Wars? Like show everything that's come out? Like Star Wars? Like major project?
Like Phantom Menace... Attack of the Clones, Clone Wars, 3, Bad Batch, Rebels, Andor, so, Rogue One.
Albeit I want to agree with you, my advice is that with 2024 being the way it is, I don't think you can do 15 to 20 minute episodes / videos. You know what I mean? I wouldn't say it has to be shorts either, but I mean the video has to be probably approximately 10 minutes, at least.
I could do that. Easy. Literally just start a timer in the corner.
Because, I mean, for people like me, if you don't grasp me within the first 2 minutes of a video, I'm clicking off of it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And if you lose me halfway, I'll probably also click off of it. So it needs to be a video where it grabs the viewer from beginning to end. And there's not many videos, I think, that actually does that nowadays.
Okay. So let's play a little word association.
Sure.
I'm going to name a Star Wars movie. You tell me the first planet that comes to mind.
First planet that comes to mind. Sure.
Yep. So. Now, the first one's probably the easiest, right? The Phantom Menace.
I mean, it's easy. It's Tatooine.
I was thinking Naboo, so that's cool that we had different answers.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Okay.
This will be interesting. This will be interesting.
Okay.
All right. Attack of the Clones.
Geonosis.
I said Kamino.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, I love this. I love this 100%.
All right. Revenge of the Sith.
Mustafar.
I knew you were going to say Mustafar, bro. I'm saying Coruscant.
What the fuck?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
because the battle over Coruscant, man.
No, I agree with you 100%. No, like, so this idea actually, no, I love this whole concept because it gives you an evaluation of the, I guess, the person that you're, interviewing, which would be me, and then vice versa. So, like, I
Yeah.
love this. Absolutely. This
Facts.
gives so much depth. Wow.
Facts. All right, ready? A New Hope.
Tatooine.
I was saying Alderaan.
What the?
It got
Okay,
blown
yeah, no,
up.
it got blown up. Oh, I have no care for millions. I am soulless. Yes,
Tells
Darth
as if
Vader, I
billions
obey
of souls
you.
were screaming out for help and suddenly silenced.
MJ said, who?
All right.
And
Empire Strikes Back.
cough.
Same Bespin.
Dude, that's crazy. I love it.
What's
It's
funny
like,
though is we are saying like inverses, you know? One's.
it literally is
Yeah.
invert.
Yeah.
That's why, what WTF moments. It's so awesome.
All
That's
right.
crazy.
And last but not least,
I feel like you know what I'm gonna say, so I wanna think, I wanna
I'll
know
say
what you
this one
think.
first. I'll say this one first.
Okay.
Return of the Jedi, Endor.
That's what I was going with.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I was like
My
when I
backup
think
would be
Return of the
Yavin.
my backup would have been Tatooine, Jabba's palace.
Interesting for
Yeah,
sure.
because when I open my eyes and I think Return of the Jedi, I see Luke, you know, crop popping an arm up looking at the Force ghosts. And then I also see Luke looking up at Jabba in the palace. Those are the first two images that come to mind. And then of course the sail barge, you know, and the great pit of Carcoon. So very fun. Nice. Nice. Hell yeah. See, Star Wars is fun like that, man. Star Wars is so fun like that.
When you have another nerd with another nerd, yeah, it can be fun for sure.
What's your favorite planet all time? Like, if you had to.
To vacation to
Not
or
vacation,
to
but
suffer to?
you get sucked into a wormhole and you wake up.
That's RNG. That's RNG.
Yeah, you wake up on this planet with nothing. You're starting from
Cold.
scratch.
Cough. I'm fucking cold. Cough. That's the place. I hate the cold. I hate everything about ice and the cold. It makes my stomach hurt. It's Hoth. I know a Tauntaun would be looking me in the face and saying, what's the matter? I'm freezing.
I feel
Jesus.
like I would wind up in, with my luck, right? I would
Kashyyyk.
wind up on one of the worlds that.
I think you're a Kashyyyk, dude. If you had to get transported via wormhole, RNG dependent, Kashyyyk. You're landing on Kashyyyk, talking to Wookiees, trying to make your way like Solo did in Solo. It's like, bro.
Should we use an AI tool to dictate where we end up? All right.
I don't
Oh,
know. Some people don't like AI.
but this one's fun. This one's fun. We are creating a Star Wars character from scratch. What is our name? What is our job?
What is thy bidding, my
What
master?
is thy bidding, my master? Where do we live? Were we born there?
Bro, it's gonna respond with
What
Star
is
Killer.
our destiny and our calling?
We're Star Killer, Galen Merrick, 100%.
All right. Here's the first one. Do you want the first one from me or you?
You.
All right, this is for me. What is our name? What is our job? What is thy bidding, my master? Where do we live? Were we born there? What is our destiny and our calling? Do we have a connection to the Force? And then last but not least, because it has to be, how are we connected to the Skywalkers?
How are we connected to the Skywalkers, brother?
Hell yeah. Bang. All right, first character. Kai Malian.
Is that our name?
Kai Malian is a relic.
Kai Malian.
Is a relic hunter scouring the galaxy for ancient artifacts tied to Jedi, Sith, and other Force-sensitive traditions. They are an independent operator, but occasionally take contracts from bounty hunters or academics, making them a neutral party in the galactic conflict. What is thy bidding, my master? Kai is their own master, until mysterious visions lead to uncover long-lost knowledge that could alter the balance of the Force. These visions seem to come from beyond the veil, possibly linked to the ancient wills. Where do we live? Were we born there? Kai resides on the desolate, weather-beaten planet Dantooine, known for its ruins. Born on Ord Mantell, a world of smugglers and scoundrels, they left as a teen after a devastating raid by the Empire destroyed their home. Kai's destiny, to unravel the hidden truths of the Force. They are destined to find an ancient Jedi holocron that not only reveals forgotten teachings, but also predicts the eventual rebirth of the Sith and Jedi in a new form. Their calling is to decide whether to reveal this knowledge or guard it, as it may ignite another galactic war. Kai has a latent connection to the Force, manifesting in psychometry, the ability to sense history of objects through touch. This talent drives their success as a relic hunter, and their visions, which become increasingly vivid and disturbing. Kai's story intertwines with Ben Solo. While on a mission, they encounter Ben shortly after his turn to Kylo Ren. Ben believes Kai's relics hold the key to resurrecting Sith knowledge, leading to a dangerous rivalry. Eventually, Kai helps Rey construct Luke Skywalker's Jedi texts by retrieving artifacts and translating ancient scripts. Wow. Interesting character. So this guy is in the sequels. Interesting. Give us another character from scratch. And this is MJ's. Oh, let's freaking go. MJ? Do you want the good news or bad news?
Start with the bad news.
I don't have any bad news.
Ah! That'll be good.
Your character is pretty sick. So your name is Sarah Vall.
Oh my god, I'm already sipping.
A name evoking grace and determination. Sarah is a rift navigator, a pilot, skilled in traversing hyperspace anomalies and unstable regions such as the unknown regions and the Kessel Run. Her deep knowledge of star charts and gravimetric shifts make her highly sought after by smugglers, explorers, and even the Resistance. Thy bidding, my master? Sarah works for herself, but owes a life debt to a mysterious Chiss commander named Mindal Terix, who once saved her crew. She reluctantly aids him in charting new routes through the unknown regions while questioning his true motives. Sarah calls the starship Halcyon Edge her home. It is a modified YT-2400 freighter with advanced shielding and stealth systems. She was born on the space station Raxel Prime, orbiting the polluted industrial world Fondor. Life in the station's underbelly instilled in her a sharp wit and knack for survival. Sarah's destiny to uncover the secrets of the unknown regions. She is driven to find Luminara's Lament, legendary derelict Jedi starship rumored to contain a lost kyber crystal that could power a weapon or restore a shattered Jedi temple. Sarah is force sensitive but extremely unaware. Her gut instincts and navigating treacherous hyperspace routes are manifestations of her precognitive abilities, allowing her to feel safe passages before sensors can even detect them. Sarah encounters Leia Organa during the Resistance's early days. Leia hires Sarah to deliver a crucial message to Luke Skywalker on Octu. Though Sarah fails to reach Luke, the journey leads her to an ancient Sith Wayfinder, which she smuggles to Rey years later, aiding in the quest to confront Palpatine. Hell freaking yeah. So we're both sequel characters. You're an advanced smuggler. I'm a force nerd.
I'm a force nerd is crazy. Bro, listen. If I had to keep it a buck, it sounds like my character is pretty hot. Yours is a nerd.
Yeah. Your character's so much cooler than mine.
Yours wears glasses. Mine has blonde hair. No, I'm kidding.
No, my character... Have you ever seen Spy Kids 3?
Yeah, I love Spy Kids.
He wears those Junie glasses, the ones that go up and over. That's what he wears. That's what he wears. And he uses a blue lightsaber. Because obviously he has a lightsaber. He finds Jedi relics and stuff. And he's also really good with a jetpack.
What was it? Spy Kids 3? You remember when the grandpa took the fucking floating CGI pill?
Yeah.
That's Palpatine, bro. Somehow Palpatine returned.
So let's talk about Palpatine, man. Let's talk about him. Obviously he died at the end of 6.
No, he didn't.
No, he did.
Clearly. No, he didn't.
His body died.
His body died, yes. Right wording.
And he used the Force to essence transfer.
Yes. Into Snoke, I think. If I'm not mistaken.
No, you are mistaken. Snoke is his own character. Snoke is his own being.
I thought Snoke was a clone of Pal.
No, Snoke is a clone, but he is...
Like a Galen Merrick, he grew sentient?
The best way to explain it, right, is... Do you know how Rex is Rex and not Jango, but he is Jango?
Yeah. Same shit.
Yeah. So, yeah. Snoke is... All he's ever known is he is Snoke. But to Snoke, it kind of feels like that fourth wall break in a video game where the character is like, man, it feels like someone else is making these decisions for me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's Snoke. So Snoke has only ever known his own life. He never even knew about Palpatine. He was just this force-sensitive being that got decimated by Luke Skywalker. He didn't look like that. Luke disfigured him. I want to know what he looked like prior, but...
Are you saying at the end of episode 7 to 8 is when he disfigured Snoke?
No. In episode 7, yeah. He was the big old hologram, remember?
So he had to have done it between 6 and 7.
Between 6 and 7. And I'm doing it in my book.
Mm.
Do you want to know about it? Do you want to know the scene? Like, I'll paint the picture. I won't tell you what happens, but so
yeah, I'm visually here.
In my book, around, I forgot what the BBY is, but when Ben is 15,
okay,
Luke turns 40. And Luke's 40th birthday is the 40th anniversary of what? It's really fucking demented. It's the 40th anniversary of Order 66. So, in my book, at the start of one of my chapters, have you ever seen Remember the Titans? MJ?
I have, yeah. Good movie.
Do you know, yeah, do you know the scene where they are at camp and the coach takes them on a run in like the middle of the night?
Yeah, it's like 4 a.m.
Yeah, and they run to the Battle of Gettysburg. And then he gives this incredible speech about coming together.
Right, right. It's been a while since I've seen the movie, but I do visually remember what you're talking about.
Luke takes Ben and Nathan on a just, literally just wrenching them a workout in the middle of the night on Coruscant. And they run like a marathon damn near. They run a whole marathon damn near. And it ends on the steps of the Jedi Temple. 40 years ago, Luke's father was storming that same temple. And this is where Luke tells Ben, your father was Darth Vader. Because in Disney canon, Ben learns about Darth Vader being Anakin through the news. And that's terrible. That's awful.
Thought Disney canon was Reva telling him.
Kylo. When I said Ben, I meant Kylo, not Kenobi. But when Ben hears this, obviously he's distraught. Like, Anakin was his hero. All he's ever wanted to be was, you know, Anakin 2.0. And my character, Nathan, he has the psychometry power, so he can kind of feel and sense and see 1,000 identical clones following this cloaked Jedi up these steps. And Luke uses it to essentially teach Ben and Nathan that if you guys keep following the same path you're going, you're going to make the same mistakes that my father did. And you're going to make the same mistakes that I did. And you're going to make the same mistakes that every Jedi is going to make. But it's up to you to choose when you come to that crossroad. Do you want the easy road or do you want the right road?
It's hard to say that. Right? So here's my 2 cents. Right? Mm-hmm. Not every Force-sensitive child, Anakin, not every Force-sensitive child will have a predicament where they were born into slavery, their mother gave them away to, you know, further their own life.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the word I'm looking for right now? George Lucas's ideology was told in the 6 movies.
Mm-hmm.
Everything after is just Disney. So, am I following George's ideology? Yes.
Absolutely.
Hate leads to the dark side.
Correct.
Dark side leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering.
Mm-hmm.
All you know, the code that Yoda foretold to Anakin.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone lives that lifestyle. You know what I mean? Sure, some people have it hard. Some people have it harder than others. And if we're going to go ahead and talk about characteristics in the solidation of one to another, Anakin's life had it the roughest. Does it excuse him for his actions later in his life? No, absolutely not.
Anakin had his life so rough, but
it's so tragic.
So did
it's
Ben.
Very tragic.
And you here's why. Here's why.
Ben's to Anakin's because Anakin was a cold-blooded slave.
I know, and vice versa.
To the Jedi.
And vice versa, Ben was a rich kid. He didn't have the adversity. His mom was the senator. His father was a war hero.
Yeah, I don't know Obi-Wan's prequel story.
No, not Obi-Wan. Ben Solo.
Oh, sorry.
Ben Solo.
When I hear Ben, I think of old Ben. Sorry.
Do you want me to call him Kylo?
I mean, Ben Solo, probably. I don't know if you probably have been calling him already Ben Solo, and if you have been, I apologize.
Dude, genuinely, for like, yeah, the whole time I've been talking about Kylo. But Kylo, he's is essentially a spoiled rich kid. Like, he's never known want, right? But neither did Anakin, really, because when you're in that life and you're a kid, that's the only life that you ever really know.
Have you played Jedi Outcast with Kyle Katarn?
I've played Jedi Academy and Jedi Knight 2.
I believe that's the first of the two. It wasn't a trilogy. It was like a sequel. It was a duel. Anyways, so imagine that game made now. With Ben added.
Right, yeah.
Do you think the story would differ in a sense? Or do you think that Kyle Katarn's story would still solidify? I think with the addition of Ben, Kyle Katarn's story would still be solidified. And here's my answer. I think Ben would be an extra / side character. You know what I mean? Like an NPC.
And the beautiful thing is, that is literally all that that's all Ben Solo ever wanted to do.
Was just be a side character?
Ben loved Han.
He killed him.
I know, that's the sad thing. Let me paint the picture for you.
It's literally tears.
Ben loved Han, dude. When he was a baby, when he was a kid, all he ever wanted to do was be around Han and Uncle Chewie. Like, yeah, what his mom was doing was cool, but he didn't like politics. He hated politics, in fact. And you can see that in Kylo. Snoke
manipulated him to the fullest extent.
Absolutely.
100%.
Absolutely. But when Ben was a boy, all Ben ever wanted to do was be a smuggler, like his dad.
Yep.
But his mom, Leia, saw a vision that he was going to turn to the dark side. And she was like, where's the safest place for this kid? It's with Luke. Han, he has to go with Luke. Han wanted nothing to do with it. Han did not want Ben to be a Jedi because you know how Han feels about Jedi. He thinks it's all hokey. He thinks it's BS.
Hokey religions is no match for a blaster kid.
And all Han ever wanted to do was protect his kid. But Leia put her foot down. Han couldn't bend her wishes and eventually gave up. And that's ultimately what led to their divorce.
So hear me out for this concept.
For sure.
For episode 9, say I was the director or scriptwriter. So, I learned that the scriptwriter is obviously different from the director. The screenwriter does not do what the director does, you know, because they're two different jobs, right? So, in my vision for episode 9, there is no Emperor Palpatine. He does not return. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You have light side Ben redeemed. Okay, he comes back from the dark. We see from the first two episodes of the sequel trilogy, episode 7 and episode 8, he's evil.
Is it in the throne room where he takes Rey's hand and he's like, cool, I'm Ben again?
It ish, yes. So that's the start of it, I think. I think it dwells back to episode 7 if you really want to nitpick it. Mm-hmm. But I think the most concrete fact would be episode 8 with the throne room fight mm-hmm. scene. But imagine episode 9, instead of it being Emperor Palpatine returning, you'd have light side Ben conflicting with dark side Rey. It's literally the acolyte in the form of the sequel trilogy.
Yeah, and the crazy thing about those two is your idea is absolutely brilliant. And
so why didn't it hit for the acolyte? Because that was the plot.
Couldn't tell you, haven't watched it. But with those two, with Rey and Ben, Solo, they fell in love with each other because they fell in love with the life that the other person had. All Ben ever wanted was freedom. He didn't want to be a rich kid. He didn't want to be this spoiled, rotten child that had all the expectations in the world of being the next great Jedi Master. He didn't want that. All he ever wanted to do was live his own life and just go explore the galaxy. All Rey ever wanted was a family. And Ben had that, and Ben threw it away. Rey had her freedom and chose family. And when Ben saw that, he was like, oh, shit. I made a big mistake. And when he killed Han, that was Snoke's toiling with him. And Ben honestly thought, okay, I'll kill Han and I'll be fully engulfed in the dark side. It'll work. But it didn't work. Because as soon as he did, he felt immediate regret. And when he said thank you, and he watched his father fall, I think that was him kind of taking the mask off of Kylo Ren. Because there's a very sadistic, twisted human being there that has been lied to for almost 20 years to that point now. And he just killed his father. Now, I know a lot of people have an issue with Luke and Luke's ignition of the lightsaber standing over Kylo in his academy. But as we know from Luke Skywalker, he can see into the future, right? We saw that on Dagobah. We saw that in the X-Wing. We've seen that in comics. We've seen it in books. Luke can see into the future just like Anakin could. Now, when he's looking into Ben's mind, I think he's seeing the future. And when Luke taps into Ben's mind, I think he sees Ben killing Han. And Luke, just like he ever was, wants to protect his family. Han is his brother. He fought a war with him. And it was just instinct. It didn't matter who it was. It could have been his own kid. But, like Luke said, he understood the mistake that he made, but it was too late. You know? Super sad stuff. And the issue that I had was we shouldn't have to tell the story for the writer. And that was my big issue with Rian Johnson's The Last Jedi, is we have to fill in so much of the story that it starts to become more of an effort for us to make it a good story, as opposed to just sitting down and watching a good story. And I think that it kind of derailed things and took things off the rails. But you tell me, because you've seen The Acolyte, right? And you enjoyed The Acolyte.
I enjoyed bits and pieces, yeah.
So you enjoyed The Acolyte?
I would say it's a 40-60%.
Oh, so you... There's more about it that you had distaste towards.
Yeah. I disliked the story. Graphically, it was great. Cinematically, you know?
I feel like that's more than 40-60 then.
No, if you like the cinematics more than the story, I think it's 40-60. If you like the story than the cinematics, then it's 60-40.
Personally, though...
The story, it's the main plot point, you know?
No, that's what I mean. Story, in my opinion, matters most because...
The story sucked.
At our roots, as human beings, like, what's the oldest art form, MJ? At our roots as human beings, what is the oldest art form?
I'm probably going to get it wrong. I want to say 2D animation.
No, the oldest art form is sitting around a fire and telling stories.
Okay. It's facts.
There's no cinematics, no visuals, nothing. Visuals, cinematics, just all verbal. That was...
Just verbal.
Right. All that was added eventually to enhance and magnify these stories that pretty much are the same stories that we've been telling since the caveman days. Like, Star Wars is as simple as it gets. The brave prince saves the princess from the evil emperor. The father sacrifices himself to save his children. The criminal sacrifices himself for the greater good. At its freaking core, when you boil it all down, Star Wars is as simple as it gets. Like, you could name a simple ass story such as The Three Little Bears, and you can somehow translate that to Star Wars. You know? And I think sometimes people try and go over the top. People try and tell stories that don't really transcribe well to Star Wars. And I think that's where you find things to be tricky. And my salient point is, you can have the most beautiful cinematics. You can have the most beautiful graphics. But at the end of the day, how many people on God's green earth are saying that A New Hope, which was produced for $2 million USD, not even, like less than $1 million USD, in 1974 to 1976, is a worse movie than the $1 billion Last Jedi? I don't think there's anybody that's saying that. And The Last Jedi, a lot of people say, is the... And I think you even think that, right? It's the most beautiful Star Wars movie, cinematically. And that's a fair assertion.
Cinematically, yes, it is.
They do a lot of beautiful things with that movie. But they don't do anything beautiful with the story that they're telling. And when you're sitting around a campfire and you're telling a story, do you really want the audience blurting in to fill in the gaps of your story? You wouldn't. Because you'd be like, no, that's not how it's supposed to go. But when it's better than what it was meant to be, it's like, damn. But that being said, I do think that the sequels being what they were did inspire this grifting era that you think that we're in, right? Because I was around. Like, I remember the internet before the sequels. I remember before Rey, everyone was throwing their stones and their sticks at Hayden. And it's now, since we have Rey, and she's getting flogged in the middle of the street, Hayden is getting flowers thrown at his feet. Do you know what I mean? That was a bar and a half. How do you feel about that, MJ? You might be muted. I don't know.
Nah, I'm not gonna lie. I'm ready for bed. I'm sorry.
You're good, buddy.
I'm sorry.
Do you want to do a final note?
The sequel is not trash. You closed when I did.